Welcome to Expedition Self on Om Times Radio with lifelong learner, entrepreneur, and creator of the worlds of Expedition Self, Sam Parado. Sam shares 4 decades of studying, guiding, and teaching how to go inside so we can build an incredibly powerful, dynamic, and validating relationship with the self. Expedition Self is laced with stellar, unexpected insights about what it means to be human. Listen now and ignite your self-development process with Sam Parado.
Well, hello. You're not going to believe it, but this is a big day for us, or at least a big week, I should say, and I'm excited. So I'm Sam Parado. I'm real. I'm right here. I'm online. I'm hoping that you're with me because we're going to talk about milestones. And I thought it was a perfect entree, right? Because we're reaching one this week. And what a good reason, right, to do a show on milestones and celebrations, because they're just such a big part of life. I'm not sure that once we get out of being a child that we don't like start to let them roll off our back or act like no big deal. But I think they're a big deal. And so I'm hoping that while you go through the show with me today, that you'll find yourself maybe making some contact with a few milestones that you might have missed along the way. So, gosh, I want to just reiterate that each week I choose an aspect of life and then talk about it through a kind of how do we go inside lens. And just because we think a lot, it doesn't necessarily equate to going inside. In fact, sometimes I think it's exactly the opposite, because the more we allow the conscious mind to be the driver in our lives rather than the facilitator, I think it actually can shut down the process of going inside. So in order to really go deep, we have to open to the other aspects of self, and they need to be heard in a non-judgmental, like, I'm so delighted by you kind of way. And the conscious mind, by its very nature, just doesn't really provide this. Yeah, learning to go inside has a lot to do with teaching the conscious mind how to listen, how to pay attention, and how to relate and care for the information that the rest of the self will stir up. So today we're going to be talking about accomplishments and milestones and being congratulatory, that's a big word, with ourselves, and how to interrelate with the self and all of that. I'm going to share a bit about how Expedition Self came to be, and then we'll talk about how to make sure the whole self is included for these achievement moments like this one is for us. So if there's one thing I'd love to have you call in and talk about today, it's moments of your personal celebration when you've reached a milestone in your life, whether you stopped and paused and acknowledged it and saw it for what it was, or whether you glossed right over the top of it. Something that meant a lot or was evidence of your effort and intention. I think this is one of those shows that the calling in will make it really much more fun and much more feel like it's life at work, right? So share it with us at 202-570-7057. Call in anytime, even if I'm on a roll, right? Because I can definitely get on a roll about things. And also, we are doing giveaways this week. So if you want to participate in the giveaways, you can go to our Facebook page, Expedition Self. If you haven't liked it yet, today would be a good day to do it. Or you can go to my website, which is samparado.com, and you'll find it there. And on Friday morning, I'm going live, and I'll be giving away the things that we planned for that. So I hope you'll participate and add to the momentum and energy of the week. Okay, well, I have a poem to kick off our conversation, and it's called Look Well to This Day by Kalidasa. Look well to this day, for it and it alone is life. In its brief course lie all the essence of your existence, the glory of growth, the satisfaction of achievement, the splendor of beauty. For yesterday is but a dream, and tomorrow is but a vision. But today, well lived, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope. I think that poem kind of encompasses how I think about milestones, which is this idea that you bring yourself to this moment but you gently and appreciatively look back on all that happened, every little piece that came together that brought you to this moment. So I've talked a bit about my journey here. By the way, do I need to give you the phone number again? Because I'm really hoping you'll call in. It's 202-570-7057. All right. You know, mostly when I've talked about my journey, I feel like it's little bit in little smattering. So today I thought I would really kind of focus on the thinking that went inside of Expedition Self. Okay. All right. So, I dove into myself in a real conscious way in my 20s, and thank goodness I had some guides to help, because I would not have been able to put it all together on my own for sure. I'm not actually sure when I hear people's stories that do put it together, how they do that. At the time there were some great teachers in the 80s and the 90s. I loved Shakti Gawain's creative visualization work, and Gail Straub and David Gershon, who wrote Empowerment, The Art of Creating Your Life. I loved Seat of the Soul by Gary Zukav, and Clarissa Pinkola Estes, who wrote Women Who Run with the Wolves. I actually got to sit right behind her at a conference once. I just thought I was a bomb in that moment. As I went through the first decade or so of my work, I also found myself like constantly framing it up and trying to make sense of it. You know, there was this mental process at work while I was doing the experiential stuff, which was like, well, where does this fit? Well, I just landed in this part of being human. How does this connect with that? So as I experienced firsthand a whole slew of modalities, you know, from body-centered modalities, energy and emotional work, like gestalt and psychodrama and internal family systems, and then spiritual things too, you know, like running around and hopping over the fire, you know, things like that. Those modalities were designed to help me go deeper, but there really wasn't a context to, you know, weave it all together. Like one program that I did or one experience didn't necessarily interconnect with another. And even, you know, going to a therapist didn't quite do it, right? So that's the question I would have, is like, how do you integrate the body with the mind? And what role do emotions play in the everyday processing of life? And how do you allow for spirit and soul to be present in each and every moment of doing? And, you know, probably the overarching guiding question of my life, which is, how do I get to feel vital and alive fully, completely, in every single minute, never giving anything up, you know, never holding anything back, right? They were good questions. But what I did at the time was I made a decision to take my study into a corporate environment because I wanted to do it for work, and it provided a ready-made audience and gave some parameters to work inside of. And it was a more direct route to reach the audience that I was looking for. And my business background really lent itself to that. So it was easy to sell what I was doing there. So you fast forward about, 15, 18, 20 years. And I hit this moment when I was around 48. I found myself infused with this need to go back to the source of my work and begin to rethink exactly how it all came together. So although the business side and leadership and teaching heart and communication, that was going on the whole time, the kind of like, you're a human being, you walk in life, that's all that's going on, that piece was kind of over to the side where I did my own personal work. So I started to think about writing a book or offering my version of growth work outside of corporate. And pretty much it was like my brain was taken over. You know, I think some of it probably was inspired by attending South by Southwest, which, for those of you who don't know, it's a mega event where some of the world's most, I think, forward thinkers and humanity-driven hearts, they certainly in their early days came together to share their ideas and inspire other people and talk about, you know, the world that we were living in, and music and art and education and the internet. It made me open up and realize I was definitely not alone, right? And that there was a group of people, there were lots of people out there that were wanting and asking really the same questions that I was. So, okay, back to the living room floor where Expedition Self was born. So I started imagining this world right? Gaming was kind of coming out and tech was really starting, and I was getting into tech. Actually, tech was not starting. I was late to the game, but to me, it was like opening up, right? So this world that could function kind of like a video game where experiential learning was possible online. And it was like a gamified thing where you could get points to acquire cool stuff for this backpack that you had on your shoulder as you moved from one world to the other. And the worlds were all aspects of life where you could dive in further. You could uncover and reveal, heal, transform, and gain skills in this particular domain, depending on where your focus was, you know, where your process was taking you and where life was taking you. Because I felt like a lot of the programs and learning that was going on out there, they were narrow and they didn't necessarily help people look at every area of their life through this self-development lens that I love. It was kind of fix-oriented and it focused on more of like what wasn't right or wanted. And I personally just don't think that's why we're really here. I think that's the mind's kind of way of feeling justified in itself, right? Find the problem, fix it, make a solution. Oh, you get to feel good about yourself. It's that wheel I talk about, that hamster wheel or that tennis match that goes on. You know, I like to think that we can get out of that and that we can recognize that we're here to be students of life, students of our growth experience, our learning process of like, what does it mean to be who we are? What does it mean to think the way we think, and how come we feel the way we feel? So it's, again, it's like there are all these standalone growth experiences, but there was nothing to really weave it all together where the answers you find through one modality are then re-looked at and integrated through another so that you don't get locked into, you know, a singular way of thinking for a lifetime, which I think is a risk for all of us. We find something, we like it, it feels like it does the trick, and we stop. So the worlds of Expedition Self, like Talktown, it focused on communication or body land or the realm of hopes, dreams, and all things hidden. These were places where you could go and explore through exercises and lessons. Just lots of ways to learn and a community to learn with, because to me, when you get to hear other people be in the conversation, the growth conversation, it really helps you process it and integrate it for yourself. It, like, you bring it back to your mind. And because you listen to someone else do it and you could see it through them, it's like watching art, right? Or theater. There's a way where it slides into the psyche and doesn't meet as much resistance. But the problem, and there was a problem here, was I was not a millionaire. And the internet hadn't really developed to the point that a person like me, little old me, could create something like I was envisioning. And I didn't really have a larger community beyond the people who had worked with me in corporate. And I really wasn't connected enough to create it in some other way. I'm sure there are people out there that could have, but it was not something I could figure out how to do. So basically, what came next was, well, where do I start? So somewhere in here, I landed in this awesome online Twitter group called Us Guys. And thanks to lots of people, I'm going to name a few, Chase Adams and Nick Kellett and Jill Manti and Margie Clayman and a slew of caring others, I got immersed in the whole social media wave at a time before it became, well, like what it is now. And you know, it got more commercialized and more people figured it out. And so our Facebook page was born in June of 2012, 9 years ago today. So that's a very long way to get to the reason we're talking about milestones today, because we finally reached 5,000 on Facebook, and we pretty much posted every day for like 9 years. Now, I mean, think about that, 365 days, well, minus the weekends because we do days of the week. So, you know, along those years while I was trying to figure out this whole social media thing, I went through that zealous, ooh, I'm going to really engage with people. I'm going to wake up at 5, going to write my heart out, you know, all in the hopes that it would spark someone to respond, right? That was the whole thing I thought I was focused on. And then I'd go to the, nobody is there. Am I invisible? No one is interested. Oh my gosh. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have any inspiration here. But, you know, what those repeated back and forth phases did is it caused me to start writing. You know, prior to this Facebook page, I was actually afraid to put anything down on paper. Imagine that. Truly. I go through all my career and pretty much I write something once a year, right? And usually it was a summary of what we would be doing next. So it was truly nothing fancy. There was no story to it. It was pretty bland, right? So I even at this time, I hired someone to help me learn to write, and I worked with her for about 6 months. So she had me create this character named Brad Chambers and a scene. I would write scenes about him so that he could become fully into life, right? So he was this 40-something family guy who felt like he'd left a piece of himself behind. And my scene had him walking into a bar where he used to hang out with his friends when he was young, and they'd sometimes bring their instruments and they'd riff, on the stage. He played the bass. Of course, I played the bass at this time. This is when I was learning how to do that. And so this scene, he shows up there 15 years later and begins to reminisce with the bartender, feeling the melancholy and the nostalgia of that time. And the next thing you know, one of his buddies walks in. It was, I can go back there. And what happened is I actually fell in love with my own story writing in that moment, right? The story holds this special thing for me because it was a lifelong breakthrough. Talk about a milestone. And it was a huge one that really led to every single word I've written since. I realized, I didn't have to be afraid of the blank page anymore. And it was like I was given the key to a jail cell I didn't realize I'd been locked inside of. And the liberation was so incredibly exhilarating. So this is a good time to think about calling in. Here's the number, 202-570-7057. And when we come back from break, I'll talk a little bit more about these unaware needs and wants and dreams we have that make themselves known.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Well, welcome back. I am Sam Parado, and you are listening to Expedition Self. This is a big day for us because we are celebrating a milestone here. And before we went to break, I was talking about one of the milestones along the way to this milestone, which had to do with when I realized that I didn't have to be afraid of a blank page anymore. And I realized I could actually write in a way that made me happy. And I was saying that, it was like a key to a jail cell, right? That I didn't even realize I'd been locked inside of. So I want to stop here for a moment and say something about the psyche and the self. You know, I do think we hide our real dreams from ourselves a lot. And sometimes when we don't even realize we don't go for something, then we don't find ourselves at a moment where the thing that we really want that's hidden makes itself known to us. And so this idea of Expedition Self, when it was born, and then I start imagining it, and then I'm trying to figure out how it gets built, you see, it brought me to something I might not have even realized or acknowledged or been willing, right, to come out of denial about. So, you know, our deepest hopes, the things we're afraid of admitting but want more than anything, I think they do often hide behind the stuff that's already working for us in life and behind the psyches holding up and holding on to keep the wheels turning. You know, this writing thing was holding me back. But if you'd asked me before this time if that was true or if I felt somehow inadequate because of not writing, I would have looked at you like you were a butterfly in a hailstorm. Truly, is this true for you? You know, is this the kind of thing that you notice for yourself, is that you go on about your business, but you don't really acknowledge a place that you're kind of scared to go to? Because see, I had myself convinced that I never wanted my words on a page because I didn't want to have to go back and read them and feel embarrassed by what I wrote. My ego was at play in there, but really it was my delicate sense of self that was also at play. So you see, Expedition Self gave me a reason to kind of open that up. So do you have some place inside that you want to get free and discover that you can do something, but you don't really want to admit it? Right? That's the thing to contemplate here. And sometimes when we set up a goal or an achievement or an accomplishment, really what we're supposed to get is this. The accomplishment even in and of itself doesn't matter. The thing that you supposedly want doesn't matter, because it was by wanting it that you set something in motion in your own trajectory, your own pathway, that as you set it in motion, it was going to make itself known. You know, we want to celebrate the cluelessness and the miraculous unwanted gifts that get us somewhere. That's right. You know, in some ways, one of the things I think we have to celebrate when we meet some milestone is that we were unconscious and not directly driving all the offerings that came together on our behalf. All the ways the unconscious helped us find our way and open new doors without our own knowing. See, my writing, my stumbling upon social media, my happenstance meeting of people who helped me think about it and try on new experiences, our moment of 5,000 we're celebrating today was made possible because all those tiny little pieces, and the future was completely unknown to me. Even if we didn't reach this milestone ever, I already did actually grow because of it. So along the way, back to the story, I also kept trying to find a way to get Expedition Self online built. 4 waves of it. And each one took lots of time and money. I got my hopes up. I got everybody else's hopes up. You know, it's kind of like I'd rally around and say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do it. Get really excited. I drew it. I recreated it over and over and over. I spent hours thinking about it. I can't even imagine how much energy I've spent trying to think about how to get Expedition Self online. And I think that's the piece about today, these 5,000 people on Facebook that have liked us, is that there's some other things that are going on that make me feel hope about we might actually get it finally built online. But I want to tell you about the third attempt. So it took me to Boston to meet with a venture capital group about venture capital money, and they were in the tech world. And that meeting was a horrendous mess. I think about the food on the table and I can't even make out the dishes when I try to remember it, because I was so out of my league and I felt like I was in one of those Wheeler Dealer Hollywood movies, like, got to do it this way, got to do it. It's got to be this much. No, I don't think so. I don't think you got it. Oh, maybe, you know, it was like, and I didn't have $25 million, and then I should just chalk up Expedition Self up to this creative idea that was never meant to materialize, because I could not play in that sandpit. And you know, each one of my attempts ended in the same outcome. It just didn't get built. So you can imagine what happened with our Facebook page along those path, right? I'd lose my interest in trying to engage in conversation. I certainly wasn't waking up at 5 a.m. trying to write engaging posts, right? And I feel like, well, I tried, but it didn't work. But then I would come back. I had people around me who said, come on, let's get back on the board. Let's do something with this. So a couple of years ago, I found myself getting intrigued by the online course business. And it was really a really big way before the pandemic hit, you know, and I started to think about taking Expedition Self online in some way, even though it couldn't be animated and it couldn't be a video game. So I took some courses from people who offered them. And I, Leonie Dawson is awesome. She's in Australia. And Amanda Grace, she runs the Pilgrim Soul. Awesome. And Kiala Givehand, she is this amazing and gracious facilitator of art experiences. And like the more I took the courses and experienced them, I felt like this whole world of learning just burst open, like this inspirational bombshell going off. And so last year during the pandemic, we began. And so we started a new wave of Expedition Self. I've put together some courses. We offered them. We engaged more on social media and got the online group Life on Your Growing Edge started. We ran ads to draw attention. And in December, we even started our online community where we study things like play and abundance and generating. And I even, in the middle of all this, I started the show that you're listening to right now. I want to tell you it was hell. Hell, I tell you. That writing thing I mentioned to you that I thought, oh, I had this milestone. Well, this was the next level because I generally don't pre-write or pre-plan what I'm teaching. And this whole thing, everything I just mentioned to you required me to do just that. And the other thing is I had to organize the content without having anybody to bounce off of or interrelate with or have a response, which is really kind of how I like to work most, which is why I keep inviting you to call in, by the way, 202-570-7057. Because the idea that I can actually listen to somebody and talk with them and then share a piece of material that, you know, kind of gets downloaded, that's how I work. That's how I've worked for like 35 years. So, oh my gosh, the tears in the past year, the dragging myself through, the unknown of it all, I felt really like I was in the mud, pulled and pushed over the rocks, around the prickly bushes. And still, when I got to the other side, the results from the world just didn't match up with what I hoped. So this brings me to another thing that matters in milestones. Boy, you sure need to appreciate how hard something is and the output that you've made simply for what it is. It's just output, and it means everything. Showing up in life, showing up for yourself, showing up for your dreams. I really don't think it matters how they go at the end. It matters that you showed up. Because, you know, it's one thing to have a goal and to want a result. But it's another thing to hold on so tightly that you end up not being able to appreciate all the effort that's being expended to get there. And by the way, if I was yourself or I'm myself in that moment, I'm not cooperating in that. If I'm not getting appreciated for all the parts I'm contributing because you're only focused on that result, I am a stubborn mule in there. I am not playing that game. And really what that means usually is I will drag down the energy. You know, even as I look back over the landscape that brought us to this moment, if I were overly attached to some intense goal, it would definitely throw cold water on the accomplishment that we've arrived at today. So it's pretty common to get to some milestone, a step on the way, and then think about where you haven't gotten to yet. This aspect of the self that always wants to take something away to reinforce you're not enough, it tends to want to seize the celebration moment for itself. So this is where the self-thrashing and the critical, judgy, assessing part of the self wants to get on the action. But what I'd like you to do, I'm hoping you have some milestones that are playing out in your mind as I talk today, and maybe even some goals that you have in play right now, right? I'd like you to turn towards that part and really notice how often it was at play as you made your way towards your milestone? How much is it at play now? How did you work with this part? And how did you alter this relationship along the way and make it more supportive and cooperative? This is where I think friends help, and also a commitment to want to have the life you want, to want to feel every day the way you want to feel. And it's also a huge opportunity when we hit the milestone and that part wants to get into the act, that you stop and you go inside. You don't want to just push it away and say, "You're not welcome here." No, you can actually take this time to look at the part of the self that's not satisfied, that's always driving you, that's pushing for more, and ask, "Who are you? How old are you? Where did you come from? What put you in play in my life? How did you grab a hold of things? And what role can I attribute to you?" Because you see, when you hit the milestone and there's a part of you that wants to see it as falling short somehow and having feelings about it, this is the place when you can totally pause and say, "Hold on, let's look at what it really took to get to this moment." So, you know, you could say, "Hey, wait a minute, I thought we were celebrating. That does not sound like celebration." Well, this is where I remind you that having a whole self means that you pay attention even if the two feelings or moods conflict. And it also means you can have a little celebration and enjoy it, and then that evening you can pull out your journal and make sure you get into a conversation with that part of you that's never satisfied. Okay, so we hit 5,000, but now that I've described what the years were like that led to that 5,000, I'm hoping, at least to me, I should say it does to me, it seems like a lot more significant than it did when I started to think about the 5,000. And you know, the reason for this is because I've had to return and look and be with the effort it actually took, the experience that I went through along the way, and the growth that it brought with it, which makes me appreciate myself and feel proud of who I am, and feel really like, wow, I did that, right? The moments I could have quit and didn't, the many times I tried to get it built, and all of that is what makes the 5,000 huge, 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 huge. So let me turn this conversation to you for a moment. When have you engaged in something like Expedition Self and gotten to a milestone? And what did it really take to get there? What did you learn along the way? And what did you appreciate about your effort and challenges? It's a good time to call 202-570-7057. So there's something else that's important about hitting a milestone like our 5,000. I think I'm going to be dreaming about the numbers 5,000 for a while, is it represents this opportunity to really pause, take a breath, and fully look around. And when when we do this, we get to see where you are in your life arc, your story arc, right? Because your lifetime is its own story, right? You get to notice more about what you're needing to go forward at a being level. And you have a chance to regroup and redirect if you might want to, rather than just keep pushing, you know, if you want, you know, like, I didn't get that sentence out correctly, right? If you would rather than keep pushing, you want to do something with different stuff. So what are some of the questions you might ask yourself if you want to stop and use the milestone as a growth moment? Well, here's one. Which part of myself has lost interest or feels unmotivated? Now, you're not asking that question so that you can say, "I'm out of here, baby." No, you're asking that question to open up the dialogue with that part, right? You want to know what's really going on, because it's possible that certain aspects of the self are attached to the result, right? Overly attached, tight, holding on, right? Grasping and gripping. And this is an opportunity for you to go in and say, "Wait a minute, this is about showing up in life. right? Now, there's also a possible part that the part that's lost interest actually has some creative contribution to make about a change. So here's another question. Where did you push yourself too hard? And how do you say you're sorry for that? And how do you acknowledge it? And how do you go back? And you might even need to take a break. You might need to rest. You might need to do some meditation. You might need to give yourself your own retreat. Another question you might ask is, am I closer to the beginning, the middle, or the end of this dream? And the reason this is important is because there's different aspects of you, facets of you that are needed, whether you're in the beginning, in the middle, or the end. And sometimes we get them confused, and then we put an expectation for the end in the beginning, or we put an expectation for the middle in the end. And I think I find that a lot, right? People start working on something and going after it, and they get inside of it, and they think they should be done, but they're really actually at the end of the beginning. I really encourage you to go in here and look. We are putting together a workshop for next year where we get to create this awesome visual manifesto. And that's a big part of the pinnings of that is the beginning, the middle, and the end, because I just think it will help us keep perspective and keep that judger from kind of kicking in when we have unrealistic expectations for what we're really trying to create. So, okay. When we come back, I got a couple more questions and I'd love to hear from you. Okay, it's break time.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Sattvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
You're listening to Expedition Self, and I'm Sam Parado, and we are talking about milestones and how to go inside to support the milestone and gather up our energy for the next step on the process or on the way. And I'm so excited. I cannot believe it. We have a caller, Nick from Canada. You got to tell me what you think about milestones.
Well, I just, I was listening to you saying keep pushing there, and I'm having a bit of a kind of changeover from being kind of the non-mindful me that just pushed and fought and battled his way to the, you know, to building a business and a brand. And now I'm trying to be more mindful and finding those words not to be a fit. And so I'm more and more just find the joy and the challenge and the excitement and the curiosity in the journey, instead of using war words. That's what I've noticed I was doing. I've switched over and I'm like, why am I not moving forward? Or why do I find it hard to go forward? Or why does it feel like, and I've stopped saying the word battle and push, because I want to be drawn and be curious and be positive in that journey. Right? It's just a different transition from, you know, you talked about your 5,000 and wow, I mean, under things that I've, the various projects that I've built and different milestones that I've pushed through. And I don't know, it's different. It's different now at 57. I want to be more, I'm still doing it, but I want to enjoy it more and be more present to the experience and not, not push people, but bring people with me and enjoy the journey and have fun. And it's hard. It's different.
Well, actually, that's what I was going to ask you, is, have you found that it gives you more energy? And then you, when you said it's hard, can you say a little bit about what is hard about it? I mean, what the hard feels like in your own body?
Well, the hard thing was that I felt like I've transitioned to being a more mindful, compassionate, thoughtful, present, you know, kind of approach to this. But then I was still, but that was more in my personal life, I guess, and my approach. But then when it came to actually doing work, I was still using the language of push, fight, battle, you know, win. And so that's been the noticing was like, oh, I've switched my vocabulary out for so much of what I do, but I was still using this vocabulary in a work context, and it didn't feel right, because I was like, how do I move forward and feel like in integrity with what I care about? And so I'm trying to, and I think I'm succeeding, but it's just about a week old, so I don't have much to report on. But I had been feeling that resistance, and I literally have flipped to like being curious and intrigued and excited and you know, finding the right energy in what I'm trying to do, as opposed to push and battle.
Well, you know,
and
the thing is that what you're describing is that impulse to survive at play that's beneath all those pushing moments, right? And we're not so conscious of it. And so then it becomes like, oh, that's the only thing that feels like I'm accomplishing or getting somewhere if I push. So I could imagine this could feel very foreign, even though it's bringing more peace with it.
Well, it's totally weird, because so much of what I actually do beneath the vocabulary is collaborative, is collective, is fun and enjoyable. But so I don't think substituting the strategy. I'm just substituting the words, which set my mental framing to moving forward. And instead of being scared and fear of losing, and I'm just like, hey, well, I'm going to enjoy it. And the right people are going to come to me along the way. I'm going to reach out to them. I'm not going to sit there and wait for people to come to my door. But, you know, I'm not chasing them down. I'm not hunting them. I'm not stalking them, you know, like a kill, right? It's just the right words to approach. And it's fun to like realize or notice. Like I noticed myself using these words. And I was like, ooh, I didn't enjoy that. The energy just felt wrong and out of whack with, you know, my desire to be mindful and present. And, you know, like.
Well, one of the things I was going to say about what you're doing there is I would be asking who is that part of you that likes those words? And really kind of, you know, what's the character of that part? And I might be making contact with it, because remember, we don't want to push parts away. We want to understand them and work with them in a relationship.
Right.
So that would be my other thought about that.
It's so new, but I think the things that I've done, like, you know, when I published my board game or pushing kind of in the promotions of getting Listly going from wherever it got to where it, you know, hundreds of thousands of users, and it was all about collaboration. What I knew, but I was kind of, I don't know, I just want to not feel that I'm fighting the system. I want the system to come with me on the journey.
Awesome.
And it's just a subtle shift. It's just, you know, anyway, I just dialed into your show and heard your call, your kind of questioning. I was like, oh, that speaks to where I'm at.
Thank you so much for calling. It makes it so much more fun to talk about it. I appreciate your insight about it as well.
No, thank you. Alrighty.
All right.
Enjoy the rest of the show. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. So where I left off were some questions that you could ask yourself as part of the pause when you stop and look around when you're at a milestone. So the next question is, what have I learned about myself along the way and how has it served the rest of my life? My writing example, I think, really fit there. What doesn't feel like it's in integrity now that I'm here? And actually, Nick just spoke about that. He said it didn't really feel like it was in integrity for me, you know, to keep using combative words, right? So when I say the word integrity, I mean that all the activity around it feels like it lines up with who you are inside yourself. Here's another one. How have you taken yourself for granted and not appreciated all that you've done to get this moment? I think this is one of the biggest issues we all deal with is we take ourselves for granted. We just expect and expect and expect, and we minimize and diminish and make small the actual effort of showing up. And of course, the more you do that, you have less energy to actually work with, right? So you can't just ask these questions in passing. You have to mean them. You have to spend time with yourself. Like, the self has to know that you're really looking for the realest, mostest, deepest truth. All right. So there's something else you have to do at a milestone. Remember I talked about how you can give yourself a hard time for where you haven't gotten to yet? Well, the other thing that happens is that the part of you that you like a lot, that helps you achieve things, can reach this moment and forget that there was any other aspect of you that helped you get there. I think of it like your A part of you, of who you are. It can end up taking all the credit for the milestone, while the parts of you that were less assertive or engaged or even forward moving, they don't get to share in the real celebration and acknowledgement. You know, I went to a Luke Combs concert a couple years ago with my mom, and somewhere in the middle, he began to thank people who made the concert possible. And, you know, musicians do this pretty much at every concert in some way, but his was particularly unusual because he specifically described the job of the janitor who cleans the bathrooms, the mop they have to use. And he took 10 minutes walking us through the person selling popcorn in the stands. And like really, really had all of us, and of course our hearts were open, music was flying, right? Drop into what are those people's lives so that we did not take them for granted. And it was moving. So this is what I'm talking about with you is, you know, that part that likes to nap on Saturday? Well, that part made sure you got balance and rest. And you know that part that rewrote, recreated, and redrew something 300 times, and it looked like you were thwarted because of it? Well, that part caused a more self-fulfilling product. See, every single aspect of you gets to be distinguished and noted in a milestone. And I think we tend to get arrogant and cocky when we forget to include the other parts that made something possible, that keep us humble, that keep us recognizing that everything in life is about our hearts being on the line, that there's some vulnerability that we attach to it. So this is where I want to talk about how we make too much and too little out of our milestones. So we can make too much out of a milestone when we allow it to validate, really deeply validate our value. We use it in some way as proof that we are worthy of our place in the world, that we prove to someone that we can actually do something that someone said we couldn't do. And the challenge with that is that we end up riding on the accomplishment rather than the effort. I had, this is a really short little story, but I wanted to sing a lot, and I found a singing teacher when I was in my teens, and she said to me, "Honey, you can't sing. I'm not training you. I think you should give it up." And you know, I wanted to sing, so I always sing. And I sing knowing that it doesn't matter whether anybody thinks I can sing. I just, you know, talk about showing up. I'm showing up with my singing. And so years later, it was a couple of years later, actually, a couple of years ago, my son was riding along in the car with me and I was singing. He says, "Mom, you have a nice voice." That was a milestone. And it definitely made up for something that took a piece away from me. You know, and what I'm saying is that to notice that our milestones in some way fill the gap in our sense of self and the way we connect and relate to ourselves, it's meaningful. But we don't want to then decide that it makes us something or somebody. We don't want to let it fill that completely and buy into it, right? because on the flip side, it's important that we make enough of a milestone. And if we are buying into this idea that this thing that I just did proves that I am someone of value, well, then we're forgetting our whole self to begin with, and we're operating on this false idea that we have to prove our value, that we don't just have it simply, my favorite words, because we breathe. So it's important that we make enough of a milestone, that we definitely validate what it took to get there, and we pause and we don't diminish our effort. Lots of times someone will say, it was no big deal, just happened. But that's not really how a milestone works. Because the thing about milestones is that they're important for honoring and acknowledging the self. They give us a chance to see, to really look inside, to look deeply, right? And an opportunity to take a little hiatus from that constant moving forward. And then also they allow us to accept the things about ourselves that maybe we haven't noticed before. So have you noticed that? That you can work hard, diligently and endlessly, and the end game seems to show up when it's good and ready. I think when we think about milestones and achievements through or from the perspective of going inside, there's a recognition that we don't actually control the when or how of things. That's what I'm saying, right? You can work hard, you can be diligent, right, and completely invested, but the end game, really, you never know when it's coming. Like, we have to be the recipient of an outcome. So this dance between causing life and receiving life, when we work with our milestones in a more conscious way, we're actually taught about relationship, the experiential nature of being in relationship and not being able to will things to go our way or to dictate the conclusions. And I feel like that's one of the most important spiritual lessons we can get, because we're learning that we have to be in a cooperative relationship, like what Nick was talking about. And the only way we learn that is by something messing with or interfering with our timeline. And the more we can get in sync with that and work with that, I feel like the more fulfilling the whole thing becomes. So this brings me to another aspect of celebrating my milestones, which is, you know, we have to say thank you to ourselves and to those who helped and those who listened and those who were there just at a single moment and didn't even realize it mattered. So I want to talk about what a thank you is, just briefly, right? How do you make it rich and full of your heart? So when you say thank you to yourself or to someone else, you want to keep these things in mind. You want to mention in detail, what did it provide for you? You want to talk about how that person in their life gave something of themselves that they didn't have to you. Like, what effort and energy did they muster up? And mostly you want to really feel the impact of the gift that that person gave. And you do that by really putting yourself in the thought and letting it drop deeper and deeper and melt into yourself. Think about the meaning of that gift. I have some hefty thank yous to issue as part of this milestone for the Expedition Self team. So I'm not going to take, I don't have a lot of time to do the way I just described, but I at least want to mention their names. So thank you to Mandy and Denise and Diana and Stephanie and Wanda and Lindsay and Danny and Susie, Gloria and Ruthie and Mark and Nick. I am so grateful for your own personal commitment to growing and creating a life of love and fullness and substance, and the very idea that you would lend your interest, your unique talent, and your love to Expedition Self and me feels like a most remarkable offering of my lifetime. And particularly, I want to thank my mom. I'm really grateful for you, how you believe in me. I'm sorry, I just broke into tears here. So I want to get to the poem, but you know, your tireless capacity to listen is just superhuman. And because of it, you know, the moments I might have given up, your attention and care and love really lifted me. So, okay, we are time for our final poem. And I wanted to do The Road Not Taken because it was the book, The Road Less Traveled, really, that started me on this more conscious journey. So here we go. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry, I could not travel both and be one traveler Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same, and both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Thank you so much for celebrating our milestone. I hope you'll go to Expedition Self on Facebook or my website and join in the festivities of the week. I so appreciate you in my life, and thank you. We'll be right back.